All right. Morning, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
I think we made it to Acts chapter 13, verse 42. I put a mark by it. You know, talking about those presidents, it's, you know, Jesus said he didn't judge, the word said Jesus didn't judge by the seeing of the eye or the hearing of his ears, but by righteous judgments he would judge. And so when I'm voting for people, even if I like them, I ask the Lord, I do like Ray said, Lord, who should I vote for? And, you know, you have a limited choice, so you want the better of the two. A lot of things I don't agree with, but, you know, you just have to let God guide you. That's about the best thing you could do. And but we made it to verse 42. It's kind of in the middle of I'm going to back up to 38. He says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Be aware lest that come upon you, that which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers and wonder and perish for our work, or work in your days, or work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And there he's talking about the blindness that Isaiah talked about in chapter 28. The Lord blinded his enemies to the cause of Christ, to the blood of Jesus. Though somebody would explain it, their hearts were so hardened that they wouldn't receive it. And Paul and they're explaining these things in the temple. Verse 42, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. This morning we talked about how Jesus is a plumb line. God judges everybody by the way they handle the blood of Jesus, whether they believe it or not. People sort themselves based on what they believe about Jesus. But some of the Jews and the Gentiles, they wanted to hear more. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and strife against these things, which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Ordained to eternal life. You know, when the Lord knows that a person will believe, he knows all people, and he knows what they're capable of. And when he knows that if somebody hear the gospel at a strategic time, he makes it happen so that they can believe. They were ordained. It was not an accident that Paul and Barnabas cross paths with these people who were ordained to believe. If he's going to send you, he sent them where they'll be most effective before he sent them where they'll be least effective. In one scripture he said, don't preach a word in Asia, but he sent them to another place where a man was praying for them to come and teach them. When the Lord knows that people will believe, he makes sure they get somebody that can a preacher. He makes sure they get a preacher that will preach the word of God. Verse 49, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of the coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. When you follow God, you solve all problems that could contradict the work of God. When Brother Horton was talking about modern day prophets, the Lord does call people to be prophets and apostles.
Yes, He does.
And then, you know that there are camps out there that teach against it.
Yeah.
So when you tell somebody I'm a prophet or an apostle, you put yourself on the line.
Yes, you do.
And I know several people that the Lord called to be an apostle, they didn't want to admit it. And they felt just like I did when the Lord called me. I said, how come my life got to be strange, you know? But somewhere you got to just take the stand. When Paul and Barnabas was at this crossroads where people were naysaying against them, they just got bold. And when you follow God, you do that. You'll find yourself being bold where normally you would have run. But it's if the Lord calls you to do something, it's necessary for you to do it. Because Pastor Jackson used to say, there are people assigned to your life. You need to be where they are at the right time. Because the Lord knows that they'll get saved. It's not about titles. It never was. It's about getting the work done. And the Lord calls people for different things. But the work is always more important than a title. But the Lord set a distinction about these things, and that's what you do. But whatever the Lord say do, spreading the gospel. It's about life. You are somebody's lifeline. And sometimes I would rather eat junk food or something that ain't really good for me, or if I find myself, hey, I've been drinking a lot of drinks this week. The wisdom will say you got to take care of yourself because you're somebody's lifeline. You can't be that lifeline if you were supposed to live to be 85 and your life get cut short 5 years. That's 5 years worth of work you won't get to do. The Lord told me to exercise, and I work too much. I hadn't done what the Lord said to do. And if I don't start, I don't want to deal with consequences. Because I'm going to have to stand before Him. He gave me some things that if I do it, he said, years ago, he said, I was in my 40s. He said, if you will exercise, I'll give you a body of a 20-year-old. And I would exercise here and there, but I didn't stick with it because I worked too much. And the Lord, He gives wisdom. He said, build your business around your life. Don't build your life around your business. And I'm trying to find ways to balance things out. Because what we do in this life, we only have a short time, and we need to do it and do it well. And do it as long as we can. Because other people need to live. God's going to take them and go and you know, what the boost that we give them, they'll be able to do greater works. And that's what we want. Okay, in chapter 14, I don't know what time it is.
It is 10:10.
Okay, we got 5 minutes. We'll start in chapter 14. It said, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Gentiles, believed. One city didn't want it. Iconium did. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of His grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, in part here with the Jews, in part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Laconia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. You know, Isaiah was anointed to blind the Jews in chapter 6. And it would last until the middle of the tribulation period. Mm-hmm. When Jesus gave the interpretation of the parable in Mark chapter 4, he said that seeing they may see and see not, that hearing they may hear and hear not. And he said the same thing that Isaiah said back in chapter 6. Because the Lord doesn't want people misrepresenting him. If he had saved these unbelieving Jews, they would have put a law spin on salvation like they tried to do. Even the Pharisees tried to do it, and they had to clear that up. Brother Horton talked about that this morning. But those that were hardened, they were blind. The Lord gave them over to their own determination, their own persuasion. He blinded them. On the radio, I was saying the Lord is not desperate when it comes to salvation. He desires people to be saved, and he gave me a marriage analogy. Our relationships, they always reflect part of our relationship with the Lord. Now, when it comes to religion, it's like a marriage. Those that are saved, they're like married to God. But when you look at another religion, that's like adultery. And if a man, he loves this woman, she's beautiful, he wants to marry, but she's going to cheat on him. Her mind ain't right. If he's desperate, he'll marry her anyway. If he's got good sense, he won't. And the Lord is not desperate. He wants us to love him for who he is, just like he loves us. He wants us to love him. If we don't love him, then he don't want to be married to us. And if a woman's going to cheat on you, I wouldn't want to be married to a woman that's going to cheat on me or betray me in any way. I said, I'm not desperate. And God made me, and he ain't desperate. Either we're going to love him or we're not. And when people have, when their heart, if anybody that believe on Jesus, they voted on God. They said, Lord, you're true. Their act of faith, believing on the blood of Jesus Christ, that he washed their sins away, they're acknowledging the handiwork of God, and they're calling the world a lie. And everybody to say something else, they're saying God is a liar and the world is right. There's no two ways about it. That's just the way it is. If people are deceived, then the Lord can work with them. But if they're rebellious, then he'll blind them. Because he's not desperate. He just loves us. Now, he loves the world just as much as he loves us, but he wouldn't marry him in that condition. You know, I wouldn't marry a woman in that if her mind wasn't right. If I was single, I just wouldn't do it. Because I want my wife, I want to marry somebody I can trust just like God does. Oh, we're out of time. I pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for being in our midst. Lord, I pray that you'll guide us to think, help us to minister beyond our right now capabilities. Help us to minister what's in your heart. Lord, continue to teach us that we may be a blessing and do all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Praise the Lord.